Welcome to our first podcast from the Surreal Biennial Conference in Milan. I'm sitting here with two other people. The three of us will be talking about a book project from the Academic Advisory Group. It's about resilience in energy, infrastructure, and natural resources law. My name is Matthias Lang. I'm a partner at Bird & Bird in Düsseldorf.
Kathrin Barnet, professor at the University of Oslo, Norway, and AAG member.
Iñigo del Guayo, University of Almería, Spain, and chair of the Academic Advisory Group of the CERN.
Well, if you could answer now, I would ask you whether you had known the concept of resilience 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and 1 year ago, and I am quite interested to see, well, I would be quite interested to see what your response would have been. The subject of resilience in energy infrastructure and natural resources is something that the Academic Advisory Group picked up, and we are going to have a session this afternoon presenting the book and discussing some key concepts of resilience, be that resilience in energy, be that state legal responses, be that managing disruption or strategic finance and economic responses. And we will actually have a bonus track in addition to what is already in the book here from Professor Miriam Alina from the Bocconi University. So I think that's enough as introduction. I think we should get going on the substance.
Thank you, Matthias. And indeed, you mentioned the concept of resilience that could have sounded new and known for a few years ago. When we started on the book project, that was pretty obvious, and there was a consensus very quickly. Because we see that we deal with different types of disruptions in the energy sector, infrastructure, natural resources. But sometimes we lack the legal translation of resilience in our legal systems.
And what do you mean? Do you mean that there is a legal concept for resilience and another one for resilience of systems?
Yes, I mean that we have the concept of resilience primarily from other systems than legal system and disciplines, primarily from social science. Well, first it started with more technical understanding of resilience, and it was adopted in social science with close link to the context of ecological sciences. When in the legal context we refer to resilience, we don't have a clear definition. It is mostly a consideration that we have to take into account, and responsibilities that someone has to take. But still, we are lacking a definition, and with this book, we intend to contribute to putting resilience into the legal context. So for those not familiar with the concept of resilience, I would like to refer to some of the works, notably of C.S. Holling, that has further theorized the concept in the context of ecological science. And it refers to resilience as a cut and start again after Holling. And Holling refers to resilience as the ability of a natural system to resist and undergo changes without losing its core structure and function. And this is fundamental for understanding resilience as a consideration. That's the ability of a system to deal with change and continue to develop. And that is something that we oppose to more dramatic concepts such as collapsology or end of growth. We decided in the book to have a more positive approach and to look at how the law can foster resilience.
And it has to be noted that in this 2022 CERN biennial, resilience is a transversal concept because it affects every single of the 9 panels in which the CERN is divided. First, We heard this morning that in the global energy transition, we need to do the transition without or taking into account resilience. Second, when we look at the need to keep the lights on and the development of oil and gas, it is also a subject linked to resilience. Third, the future electricity system must be a resilient one. Fourth, mining and sustainability. The resilience of the mining sector under tougher sustainable requirements. Fifth, the resilience of natural ecosystems and wildlife conservation parks. Seventh, water development. Climate change is posing tremendous risk on water supply, and we need that the water supply system becomes resilient. The resilience of alternative or renewable fuels, because we must accept that the production of new alternative fuels is pushing the electricity system into risk. And ninth, infrastructure delivery. We need that the infrastructure which is delivered, the new infrastructure which is built in such a way which can be resilient against climate change disruptions.
A clear objective with our work in the book was first to identify and analyze the legal responses in different legal contexts, energy, natural resources, infrastructure law, but as well in different jurisdictions, and we have several case studies, of what resilience mean, what was their legal responses to resilience objectives. And we did that in addition by developing recommendations for building a legal framework to foster resilience. And therefore, we intend to find legal pathways, that's a subtitle of the book, in order to foster resilience through law.
I think the one of the key elements is that law knew resilience without actually knowing that it did. Because I think lawyers originally did not devise legal systems to be resilient, sort of as a concept to start off with. But obviously, all these systems need to work in a way that if something goes wrong at one end, the whole system doesn't collapse, but it finds a way around it. And I think now, a development that we've seen over the past, and even with the pandemic and all the events that we've seen, is that the legal system actually knows the concept of resilience without having discussed it as a legal concept first. And I think a key element of your book is that you have identified areas where we have been dealing with resilience without perhaps calling it resilience, correct?
Exactly. And what we see when we were screening the different examples is that we have many neighboring concepts referring or being encompassed by the concept of resilience, such as reliability, adequacy of supply, security of supply. But resilience is broader, in particular if you put it in socio-ecological system. And therefore, we also see that we have silo approach to resilience through legislation or through contracts, for example, but we are still missing the integration of those different pieces in order to reach a more consistent approach to resilience.
But I think that is now history because the book is out there. Everybody can read it. I think those of you who are listening to this now, you may have attended the conference or you may have missed out on it, but what you can do is you can now read it in the book. It's wonderful that the academic advisory group has picked this subject, has put this together in a concise way, very clear thoughts. And I think we're all looking forward to seeing this concept develop going forward, not only in energy, infrastructure, natural resources law, but probably in other areas as well. I think that concludes today's podcast, our first podcast, and I hope you have enjoyed that one, and I hope that you will enjoy the other podcasts that are coming after this as well.